Well, I'm not going to sing it, but I do want to say good morning to Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and contributor to our co-producer, WNYC. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, no question. I don't think anybody would argue that the American healthcare system has a few bugs in it, and this guy wanted to try fixing them.
The stakes have never been higher for exactly what we need to do and what I'd like to help with, which is to improve healthcare.
That is the voice of Dr. Donald Berwick. He was in charge of Medicare and Medicaid until he resigned last week because he didn't think he was going to get confirmed by the U.S. Senate. In fact, he was pretty sure he was not going to get confirmed. Right, Joe?
Well, he'd never actually been nominated because the president realized he wasn't going to get confirmed, so they snuck him in there in a recess appointment, which, of course, always infuriates Republicans, even though they do it themselves when they hold power. And it just became yet another reason why Dr. Berwick was unacceptable to the Republican Party.
All right. So he ended up, he had 17 months. When they do a recess appointment, it's a temporary appointment.
Right.
And his 17 months was about to end. And so he left his post. But you know, this happens, Joe. I mean, people leave, they get temporary appointments, they leave D.C. Why was this, do you think, important enough for you to interview him from Massachusetts about his experiences?
Well, it is rare that somebody is so perfectly qualified to take on a job at a critical moment in history. And Dr. Berwick was unusually qualified to do this job. He had spent his entire life thinking and working on the ideas around continuous improvement and cost reduction, which is, you know, basically industrial processes used by Toyota and Caterpillar and other big companies that are constantly revising their processes to make them ever better and ever cheaper. And he spent 25 years trying to apply those ideas to healthcare. And the essential idea was, you know, there's a million things that healthcare does that are inefficient, that do not help patients, that, you know, someone with a congenital heart defect, it's relatively easy to try to keep that person out of the hospital, and yet, you know, the readmission rate is 20, 30, 40% within a month. And those were the kind of things he was trying to stop.
And he had some innovative ideas. I mean, he took guidance from things like Toyota Corporation on how they functioned, and he wanted to get everybody using digital records. But why would the Republicans have such an objection to confirming him?
Because he was in favor of Obamacare, which, by the way, is the law of the land.
Right, but there's also an element. I mean, Berwick had this huge initiative. You know, he's a saint in some quarters. You know, getting rid of medical mistakes, saving 100,000 lives was a campaign that he confronted the medical establishment with. Is this possibly, you know, the hospital lobby itself not wanting Berwick in just because he's been so effective confronting their management style?
You know, I think that really had a lot less to do with it than with the fact that he kind of symbolized the ideas behind Obamacare, i.e., he was in favor of universal care. You know, he made some very controversial statements over the years. The most famous one is, you know, the question is not whether there's going to be rationing. The question is whether it's going to be rationing with your eyes open. And that very, very much inflamed the Republicans. And his argument is, well, there's rationing right now. Health insurers ration. Medicare rations. That is how health care is done. Let's do it a smart way and not a stupid way. But, you know, because the law itself has been so controversial and so loathed by the Republicans, that you know, any effort they can, anything they can do to slow it down, slog it up, make it more difficult, they will do. And this is a really good example of that. The real problem with Medicare is not Medicare, it's health care. If you lower health care costs, you will lower Medicare costs.
Right.
So here is a guy who really had spent his life not really thinking about Medicare per se, but thinking about health care per se.
Well, we're speaking with Joe Nocera, columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and a contributor to our co-producer, WNYC. And Joe, I don't know if you heard earlier, we were talking to Louise Story about the S&P warning of a downgrade of the European countries because of their inability to to come to an agreement. Earlier, the S&P downgraded the U.S. credit rating because of the dysfunction in Congress. And it sounds to me like what you're really talking about here is kind of what S&P is complaining about, the ratings agency, which is a dysfunction in Congress that makes it difficult to get business done.
Well, it's an impossible Congress to get business done, and this is in fact a very good example of it. It's very interesting to me that S&P is making political judgments, not economic judgments, both in Europe and in the United States, and you know, basically with good reason. The European crisis is eminently solvable if they had the political will to solve it, but they clearly don't. The U.S. debt crisis was completely avoidable if we were willing to avoid it. We were not. And S&P said this makes us nervous about the future.
So let's bring it then back to Dr. Berwick again. What does this tell us about future confirmations? What does this tell us about the implementation of the Obama health care plan and our chances that it will be done effectively and efficiently?
Well, the Republicans still hold a lot of hope that they will be able to get rid of Obamacare, either through the courts. Eventually it will be going to the Supreme Court, either through the courts or through, you know, if a Republican becomes president and they have the votes in the House and can twist a few arms in the Senate, maybe they can roll it back entirely. That seems a little unlikely, but as long as that hope exists, there's not going to be any will on the Republican side to do anything to help implement this law. They hate this law. They think it's, you know, socialism. And so you will continue to see this series of difficulties. The woman who is replacing Dr. Berwick, Marilyn Tavener, his number two, is a longtime hospital administrator. So she has a very different background. And I do think in her case she will have better luck being confirmed. But part of it is because she doesn't have the sort of record of innovation or of saying these kind of occasionally incendiary things that inflame the Republicans.
But is she an idealist the way Dr. Donald Berwick was? Is?
We'll have to wait and see. We really don't know. She's kept her cards very close to the vest.
Joe Nocera is an op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times, and a contributor to our co-producer, WNYC, talking about the non-confirmation of Dr. Donald Berwick, who was in charge of Medicare and Medicaid up until last week. Thanks so much, Joe.
Oh, thanks for having me. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.